Today on the Cameron Journal podcast, we are joined by Lynn Locke Payne. She is the author of Speak This, Not That, Positive Affirmations to Have a Better Day. It's an enlightening guide designed to help simplify the journey towards self-discovery and personal transformation. It's always a great way in time to reset our mindset and get to a better place where we understand getting rid of those self-limiting beliefs and all this type of thing. So welcome, Lynn, to the Cameron Journal podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Well, why don't we start from the beginning? Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to write this book?
Well, I've always been interested in mindset, and like everybody else, my mind goes to the negative bias. And so we're always looking at the negative things that happen to us, or we create stories that aren't even true. And I wanted to give people another way to think. And so this affirmation book's a little bit different because it gives you a negative affirmation, then it gives you three options to replace it with.
Excellent. Excellent. So when what inspired you to look into this and research it and write it down and figure out how to make that mind shift?
Well, after I wrote my first book, Wake Up, Change Up, Rise Up, I realized that a lot of it was about mindset. It was about flipping your script, that the stories we tell ourselves aren't necessarily true, that they are beliefs we've had, maybe even from a young age, whether they were created by us or if we were influenced by other people. And a lot of the beliefs that we have are no longer relevant or they're unbeneficial to us. So I wanted to create something to give people options on how to change their mindset.
Excellent. And how did you, what happened in your life that caused you to start writing about this?
Okay, yeah. Well, my husband unexpectedly died. And then 3 weeks later, a fire broke out into our house and my daughter and I had to move out for 7 months while they rebuilt a portion of that.
And everything happens to you.
Everything happens at once, right? I mean, you don't get one thing at a time. Yes. But after I started healing, I started writing because I was never a writer before, but writing really helped me to process my grief emotions and started me on a healing journey. So the first part of my writing was about what happened to my husband in the fire, but a lot of that was negative, and somehow, whether it was, I think it was inspiration from above was just pouring through me. I just felt I had to write. Like I could not pick up a pen or get to the computer and write. I had to write. It was such a need to get down my feelings. And then it felt sometimes like I was just the stenographer. Like, I don't even know where these ideas would come from. They would just pour into me. And about 2 hours later, I'd be done with the first draft of the chapter. It was really an incredible experience for me. But I really believe that writing is very healing and it helps bring out into the world emotions we may be not wanting to face.
No, absolutely. In terms of your healing journey and mindset shift, what was the hardest part about that?
Well, the hardest part was probably accepting that my husband was no longer here. That was probably the hardest part. I went through all the grief stages, but that was probably the hardest part. And to realize that you can't change the past, that you have to accept whatever the circumstance is, because no matter how much you want to avoid it or wish it wasn't there, it's here. So the best way to get over it is just to accept what is, and then you can slowly heal to move forward. And it all takes time, and everybody has their own timeline. There's no like right or wrong way to go through grief, I don't think.
Yeah, I tell that to people a lot who are going through that sort of thing. So, well, why don't you give us some of the positive affirmations that we might be able to use today to shift our mindset?
Okay. Well, for example, I'm just going to open the book and let's see what comes out. Like I can't change. So when you say that, instead speak this: I am given the opportunity to adjust my mindset with each new day. Or you can choose, I can adapt It's innate in human nature. And the third option is I have within me the power to change.
No, that's good. That's that's very helpful. I think I don't know about you. I mean, I think going through life changes, even small ones, can be incredibly difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And so besides your, you know, not everybody is facing the sudden death of a husband. What are some other life changes that have tripped you up that you've used these affirmations for?
Well, even just little things, like you said. I mean, like, you know, like I say in one of my books is that I was going somewhere and I was late and I get stuck at the, like, there's some road construction or whatever. And it's my, like, my mindset that's telling me, oh, we're going to be late, we're going to be stressed and all that kind of stuff. So then I just take a deep breath and then I go, okay, well, even if I'm late, everything's going to be okay. And, you know, you just try, you have to switch the mindset. The most important thing is to become aware. A lot of times our subconscious just keeps replaying the same things over and over again. And if we're not aware of the negative dialogue that's going on inside of us, we can't change it. So like if you're stuck in like in the grocery line or, you know, you're stuck in the car on the freeway or whatever, it's just like take a deep breath and then just say, you know, this extra minute or two or whatever it is really not going to change my life. It really isn't going to make a big difference. So it's just about flipping the script to switching it to something more positive. And we may not go from like if we're sad, we're not going to say, oh, I'm happy. I mean, that's not going to work because, you know, your vibration in your energy is at a lower level, but it's just about trying to step up to the next level, trying to get just a little bit feeling better, a little bit happier.
No, absolutely. And I think that's a very important point. It is such a, it's such a process. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, and I think people get impatient with themselves. And I think even as friends and family, we get impatient with those who aren't, you know, moving along fast enough. And aren't they over that yet? Are phrases that people will be hearing at the Thanksgiving table in a couple weeks, if you live in America, or at the Christmas table for our international friends, who, you know, don't have another major holiday for a little while, are all those things. In terms of timeliness in your healing journey, how long was it before you felt in that better, more positive place?
It probably took me a year and a half to start feeling better. And I specifically remember one moment. I was just walking down the street, taking a walk, and there was a hummingbird that kind of flew right next to my head. And about 37 or 30 seconds later, there was another hummingbird. So I had two hummingbirds flying on each side of my head, and they were walking with me for about a minute or two. And I just started to look to nature to find a little bit of more happiness or a little bit of joy, like, you know, the clouds or the sun shining or the trees or whatever. But that was a turning point, just seeing those hummingbirds and being grateful, because I really believe gratitude is what gets us to be at a better place. I mean, at least for me, that was the beginning of my healing journey, was to look for what I had, not what I lost, but what I currently have.
Yeah. And that is, I mean, I think it's a hard thing with the loss of a partner to kind of pick up the pieces. What was the, when you were looking at what you had, what were some of the things that you started to find in all of that?
Well, my daughter, I mean, she's been amazing. My family, my friends, even strangers. I mean, I live in a smaller community, and sometimes people would come up to me and go, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I heard your story. You know, is there anything I can do to help? I mean, and then after we had the fire, people like my next door neighbor that I didn't know well took me and my daughter, and my parents just happened to be visiting in for a week until we could find a new place to live. I mean, the kindness of strangers is incredible.
No, that is certainly true. And there's, I think, a lot of, you know, different losses and all that type of thing that we go through, you know, as well, especially with the pandemic and how that, you know, changed a lot of people's lives in a lot of different ways. and just a huge change and huge upheaval. There's definitely a difficulty. I think a lot of people have a lot of trouble getting through a lot of those things and adjusting to life after something has happened, you know, death, global pandemic, you know, whatever.
Right. Because I don't think
of life.
Yeah, because I don't think grief is just the loss of a loved one. It could be the loss of a job, but could be a loss of a house, like if you had to move somewhere else. But it really is, I think grief is just missing the life we once had that no longer exists. And it's hard to accept that sometimes. I mean, rightly so. So, but I think losing something. Yeah.
Yes. And that was, I think for the pandemic, that was true for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know, because they, you know, we were going, and then the world stopped, you know, you know, it's not obviously always that dramatic, but it can be, you know, end of a relationship, end of a job, end of a chapter of a life. I know a lot of, I have a lot of, you know, friends who had kids young, so all their kids are leaving. And that's a huge thing, especially for moms and all this type of thing. Although kids aren't leaving as fast as they used to, housing costs and all
so
that.
True.
But you know, but even that, you know, and but it could be, you know, kids going to college, life moving on, you know, all this sort of thing. It's, you know, or even just, you know, kids growing older, not needing you as much, going out, living their own lives, all this type of thing. It's, these are a lot. And I think it's very easy, like you say, to fall into that sort of negative mindset about it. So, yeah, I know you talked a little bit about, you know, just kind of being a stenographer for what's coming through. But let's talk a little bit about process. What is your writing process look like? How do you get words onto page?
I really just kind of sit down and I just start typing. I mean, I haven't had what's called like major writer's block. Yeah, there are times I'll start writing something and then it's like my inspiration just goes away. But most of the time when I start writing, I get more inspiration. And if I do get blocked, what really helps me is just taking, which is kind of funny, a walk around the block, just getting some fresh air, getting some sunshine, looking at nature. And sometimes those are my best inspirations because I really think everything's about energy. And if we're moving, then I think more energy can flow into us. And that's a great way to help, whether it's walking or yoga or exercise. That's a great way to release energy blocks and mental blocks.
Yes, no, definitely. I definitely appreciate that. And I tell people, you know, that all the time. I said, you know, change things up, consume other media, read something, watch something, get out into, you know, nature, you know, all this type of thing. I tell parents, I'm kind of like, if you are trying to write and the kids won't leave you alone, take them to the park, get them tired, they'll fall down for a nap and you can write and you'll have gotten some fresh inspiration all in one fell swoop. You know? Yeah, definitely. No, I like that. I like that. So now you have written a book before, Wake Up, Change Up and Shut Up, which for those who aren't watching is behind her. What was the big difference between that book and this new one?
Okay, so the Wake Up, Change Up, Rise Up is about it's about how to live better. So it talks about gratitude, joy, dropping the blame shame game, helping getting over loss. It has a section on meditating, how we're all connected. So it's 27 small chapters and there's exercises and a playlist at the end of each one. And it's just for you to live better. It's for, and whatever that means to you, whatever, you know, I think everybody should live an authentic life, not what their parents wanted them to do or what someone else wants them to do. It's, you know, what resonates in your soul. I mean, that's where I think we find happiness.
Yes, absolutely. That's a wonderful kind of way to. So what was the bridge between your first book and your second book? What did you want to say the second time around? You didn't say the first time around.
This one was, I wanted something in today's world. It seems like everybody is mentally attention deficit. It's like, if it's not done in so many seconds or so many minutes, we lose focus, right? Because we're so bombarded with everything. So I wanted to give people an easy read, like something that they could just pick up and they can use for their affirmation for the day or, you know, their intention, but something that was quick and easy to read.
No, you're so right. I mean, I face this all the time in content creation where I'm trying to crunch down, you know, Israel Palestine into a 60-second TikTok or YouTube short. And it's like, that's not possible. it's tough time. It's tough times. I totally get that sort, you know, short in and out, all this type of thing is very important. Well, you're just so inspiring and all this type of thing. It's just fascinating. I always enjoy when I talk to people who write this type of stuff, learning about them and how they got to be such inspirational people. Because I'm very much a curmudgeon. I'm kind of like, the world is dark and gloomy and everything is going to hell in a handbasket. At light speed. So how do you stay in that good and positive place?
I don't always. It's like that's that's impossible to always be there. But what I do is when I feel like I'm feeling down, I try to do something that brings me joy. I try to flip my whatever I'm thinking into something at least a little more positive, because we all get there. I mean, you know, I think life is up and down. And you just have to ride the wave, and the hard times are sometimes where you can find our most profound lessons. I mean, that's what they're there for, because if we were happy all the time, I don't know if we would know what happiness was, right? If we didn't have the challenges. I think the challenges are there to teach us and to show us maybe how strong we are and that we can move through this, and for us to appreciate when we do have good times.
Yeah, it's kind of that old saying, every rose has a thorn, right? Mm-hmm. What are some of the inspirational quotes you chose from the book? I'd be interested to hear a couple of those.
I have like Rumi, which I love Rumi. Yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I am wise, so I am changing myself. I mean, I think that is, I mean, that says it all, because I think I have, and we all do, we have friends who think that they can't change anything and they're stuck in their situation, but there's always a different option. We may not see it at the moment, but we always have a choice to do something different. But it starts with us. We can't, I mean, it's like, you know, if somebody said to me one time, Lynn, you got to get out more. A man's not going to come to your door and just knock and say, here I am. So, you have to make the effort. You're the only one who can change yourself. And I try to remember that my job is not to change other people or to expect them to live up to my expectations. They have their own journey, their own life. And even if I don't like what's happening to them, I can give them advice if they're open to it, but I just have to let it go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was something I struggled with, particularly when I was really young, is I didn't understand what sort of motivated people, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. And so it was very hard for me to kind of start to let go of hoping people would do what I thought was the right thing, the best thing, whatever have you, and realizing that there's a lot of other factors that motivate people, and people are not, you know, logical or all this type of thing. They have their own wants, needs, and desires, many of whom unsaid, many hidden. Mm-hmm. And so you really can't, you know, you can express your opinion, but don't expect it to go much, you know, for it to go much beyond that, because people are going to do their own thing, whatever that means to them, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it will work out and sometimes it won't, and you just kind of have to, you know, be there for them regardless, to celebrate if it works out and to commiserate if it doesn't quite go the way that one had hoped. Mm-hmm. So I think that is a very difficult thing. So do you have a hard time navigating modern society? Because it's so oftentimes now people are you know, the what is happening in the world is really affecting people psychologically. And we can blame social media and all this type of thing, but how are, as one of those nice, kind, inspiring people, how do you navigate the insanity of our present times?
Well, I don't watch the news anymore. And I know some people go, oh my God, you don't watch the news. Once in a great while, I'll check in, but it's better for me to read what's happening than to visually watch like the evening news, because it seems like they're just, a lot of times, like especially during COVID, it was, they're saying the same thing day in and day out. It was just getting so negative and there was nothing that I could really do. It was really affecting my emotional well-being. So I don't watch the news. I still check in online to see what's going on, but I'm just not visually watching it. Cause it's, what do they say? If it leads, it leads, or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I do. I read a lot. I read, I've read over 40 books already this year. I read fiction and I read nonfiction. I start my day reading like nonfiction, whether it's in mindset or business or whatever, because I really think we should always grow. So I always want to try to improve myself. And I think that helps too. And fiction books are awesome because they let us into somebody else's world and we get to experience what someone else has gone through, or whether it's, you know, a different life, a different culture, whatever it is. And sometimes I'll see like one word in a book and I go, oh, I should write on that topic. And I write down the word and I can, like the next day, maybe I write a whole paragraph on whatever that was that inspired me. So I try to improve myself. I mean, I really work at, I really work at doing that. I really work on training my mindset to not jump to worst case scenario, because it has a habit of doing that.
No, certainly. Certainly. That's very easy. Well, we've reached the part of the show where we do plugs. So okay. Why don't you tell us where we can buy your book online and where we can find you online to keep up with you?
Okay. LynnLockPayne.com. That's, and for people who are watching, that's LynnLockPayne.com. Yep. And my books are available everywhere, on my website, on Amazon, on Kobo, on Google Play, wherever your local bookstore can order it for you.
Wherever fine books
and
are sold.
And I'm mostly on Instagram. So if you want to follow me on social media, Instagram's a place. And that's a place that I follow really inspirational people. And that really helps me, of seeing somebody else's quotes or how somebody else is taking in a situation.
Excellent. Yeah, I did a project earlier this year called Cameron's Quotables, where I pulled just interesting things I've said over the years, and it did very well. So
oh, good.
People do enjoy that. People do enjoy that. So
did that make you feel better?
Yeah, because I'm always telling people, you know, because I do a lot of, you know, I interview a lot of writers and we talk about lots of interesting things. I do a lot of news politics. And so it's just kind of, you know, breaking above those headlines and those narratives to kind of the greater message. And people really respond to that. You know, it's not just like, let's not be stuck in the headlines and the narrative. Let's have a bigger conversation.
Yeah.
And that really helps people. And I think it gives people a chance to do what I always tell them they should do, is make change in their own communities. Politics mm-hmm. is local. Make change in your town and it starts to go outward. So,
right.
And there's lots of great people that do great things, you know, for the Red Cross, for food banks, whatever have you. And that's what makes for a great society. So
mm-hmm. I think so, too. I totally agree.
Well, thank you, Lynn, for coming on the Cameron Journal podcast. Well,
thank you, Cameron. And thank you to all your listeners for listening to us today.
That's all for this episode of the Cameron Journal podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Visit us online at CameronJournal.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I love to talk to my followers and listeners, so please feel free to get us on social media at Cameron Cowan on Twitter. And we'll see you next time on the Cameron Journal podcast.